We come bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you say that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
When you think of the book of Joshua, what stories come to your mind? The crossing of the Jordan River? The stones of remembrance? Maybe you think about the tumbling walls of Jericho or the day the sun stood still. The book of Joshua is more than all that. It is a book of historical facts and events in Israel's story, but it's also about new beginnings for God's people. It encourages us to be strong and courageous in the world today as we claim our rich spiritual inheritance in Jesus Christ. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible Study titled Joshua, Be Strong and Courageous. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Okay, ready? Page 173, if you need to look at that. Here we go. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the Israelites conquered them. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave their land to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh to be their possession. Joshua 12, verse 6, NIV. We're going to do it again. Here we go. Moses, the servant of the Lord, and the Israelites conquered them. And Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave their land to the Reubenites, the Gadites, and the half-tribe of Manasseh to be their possession. Joshua 12, verse 6, NIV. There you go.
God's got this, because this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. So, Father, as we get into your word, as we get into chapter 12, Lord, this amazing chapter 12. Lord God, thank you for chapter 12, that we get to be a part of this, and that, Lord, that you are in our midst. Thank you, Father, for your faithfulness toward us. Thank you, Lord, that you have your hand on each one of us, Lord, that if we have given our lives wholly and completely over to you, Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus that we would set our hearts to serve you and to be all in for you, Lord. And we thank you and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 12 is just fun. It's just fun, yes. So I'm not going to read all of chapter 12 because I don't want to have to try to pronounce all of the names. So you have read it, and in the study book that you have, you've had some very good questions and you had some very good information that came from that. By the way, if you would pray, I did ask you to pray for me for the retreat. The retreat is True North. The Word of God is our compass, and it's on Isaiah 30, 21. You will hear a voice saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, whether you go to the right or to the left. And so I'm really excited about doing that. And I really have learned some really interesting things about True North that I did not know. Does everybody know that True North is not the one that that your GPS uses? Isn't that funny? So anyway, but that's a whole nother story. But when you look at this chapter, how many of you go, why in the world are we doing this chapter as a weekly thing? How come it's not just included with something else? Well, because in your study book, you saw it said 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we want to be thoroughly equipped, and by studying this chapter, we will be thoroughly equipped. What's God trying to tell us in this chapter? That he is a man of his word. He is a man of his word. He told Abraham that this land is yours. Not this land is going to be yours someday. This land is yours. It was a promise kept. And so this is what all of this is about here. In other words, the chapter tells the culmination of Joshua and his men following the leading of God's word to them and fighting the good fight, following directions completely. Is that true? No. But when he failed, he didn't stay down. Though a righteous man falls seven times, he keeps getting up. Joshua got up and he went with the whole issue of Ai, the other issue that happened with them, he got up and he went before the Lord and found out the true direction. So that's what we need to do also. And this really reads as an administrative account of the conquest of the Promised Land. This is an administrator's dream to read this chapter. They have it all together. I am not an administrator. I don't even remember where I put things, let alone keep track, that might be in that file cabinet or it might be in that stack over there. So that's how I am an administrator, but an administrator does more than that. But it carries the kind of details any administrator would have loved. It carries names and places and boundaries and geographical details. People who have the gift of administration love that type of detail, don't they? How many administrators do we have in here? You love the detail. Oh, I love you guys. I'm so impressed. You keep track of everything. But to do an illustration of this chapter, imagine an artist and a botanist walking into a virgin forest. No one has ever walked through this forest before. No one has ever seen this place before. So you have an administrator and you have a botanist going through it. So the artist is taken by the beauty and all that is seen there. They're just stopping, they take some sketches, they make some paintings, and they enjoy all of the beauty of it. Now the botanist has a different approach. The botanist is an administrator. Let's measure all of this. Let's accurately describe it all. Let's catalog it all. Let's give it everything a name in a dead language that nobody ever speaks, that nobody can pronounce. And let's put it in Latin so that everybody can wonder what it was that we were thinking when we looked at that plant. So when the artist and the botanist work together, we end up with a beautiful coffee table book that includes all of the beauty of it as well as the details and the description of it. So that's the story of what's happening in chapter 12 here. So we've got all of those together. And when the apostle and the prophet and the evangelist and the teacher and the servant and the administrator work together, then the body of Christ benefits from it. When we all work together on it. These victories, so in verses 1 through 6, you saw that it takes us back to the victory that God gave Moses in Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, the king of Bashan. The victories are considered part of the total conquest since the territory was occupied, you remember, by 2.5 tribes east of the Jordan River, the ones that did not want to cross over. So that was under Moses that took 1 through 6. That was what happened under Moses. Now, verses 7 through 24, that you already know because you've studied, God's made a promise earlier to Israel before they crossed the Jordan. He will deliver their kings into your hand, Deuteronomy 7:24, and you will destroy their name from under heaven. No one shall be able to stand against you until you have destroyed them. So this did happen. Is that correct? This inheritance was given by God, not by righteousness that I have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved me. According to his mercy, he has saved me. According to God's mercy, he has saved me. He has saved you according to his mercy. Let's not let that slip by us. Not by works of righteousness that I have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved us. So here we have 31 instances of God's faithfulness. Joshua defeated 31 kings on the west side of the Jordan, plus the two conquered under the leadership of Moses. So we have 33 kings in all are recorded here. This inheritance was given by God. I got ahead of myself there on the mercy issue. This was given by God. It was all given by God. And so it's not by righteousness that I have done, but according to his mercy, he has saved me, does not allow me to just sit and wait for it to happen. You notice that they went to war. You notice that they put on their armor. They put on their whole armor. Am I going to put on my whole armor every day? Am I going to put on that helmet of salvation, that breastplate of righteousness, that right standing with God? Am I going to have everything tied together with a belt of truth, allowing only truth to be part of my life? I'm going to be carrying the sword of the Spirit, which is what? It is the Word of God. The Word. And I know I'm listening more and more and more now and hearing Chuck Smith say, it's about the Word. It's about the Word. It's about the Word. Who was I? I was listening to somebody else. Skip Heitzig. It was Skip Heitzig yesterday. Did any of you hear him yesterday? He said, when you go to a church, it's not about their children's program. It's not about the young adults program. It's not about how many potlucks you have. It's not about how many events you have going on. It's not about how good your worship is. It is, do you preach the Word? So when you, if you ever move away from Refuge, just don't. But should you move away from Refuge, because you move far away and you can't come here anymore, make sure you get involved in a church that teaches the Word of God. Only. Not from another book, not from another anything. So that being said, so we don't just sit around. How did I get there? We have to fight the good fight. Every day we must put on that whole armor. Every day we trust him with our whole heart. Every day we're sold out for him and for him alone. And so I want to take you to Psalm 136. Psalm 136 is the poetry. It is the poetic version of Joshua chapter 12. So Psalm 136. And I don't know, maybe we should stand while we do this because I'm going to read and you're going to read. And so you'll notice in every one of these verses, it says, for his mercy endures forever. That's the part you're going to read, okay? We'll read that all together. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. Mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to God, the God of gods, for his mercy endures forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, to him who alone does great wonders, to him who by wisdom made the heavens, to him who laid out the earth above the waters, to him who made great lights, the sun to rule by day, the moon and stars to rule by night. Are you getting tired of saying it? Good, because we're going on. To him who struck Egypt in their firstborn and brought out Israel from among them with a strong hand and with an outstretched arm. To him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel pass through the midst of it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. To him who led his people through the wilderness. To him who struck down great kings and slew famous kings. Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and gave their land as a heritage to Israel, his servant, who remembered us in our lowly state. We were not in a lovely state. Yeah. We were in misery. He rescued us from our enemies. He gives food to all flesh. Let's read this together. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven, for his mercy endures forever. Forever. Yay. Great. You can be seated. We're not done yet. So, I want to say to God be the glory for great things he has done. That's what chapter 12 is. To God be the glory for great things he has done. I have encouraged you time and time and time again and encouraged myself to be all in, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to be wholly sold out to Jesus Christ. I just want to take a second or two, or five. And Matthew 16:24 says, then Jesus told his disciples, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. What does that mean? Take up your cross and follow him. Following Jesus means denying ourselves. So let me give you the job advertisement for the position that you are saying that you would like to be a part of. It's long hours, lots of overtime, must be willing to work weekends, must be able to travel often, must be willing to accept the cheapest modes of travel, generally by foot for long distances. It's dangerous, potential threats from thieves and soldiers. They will not pay for the hotels. Sleep where and how you can, sometimes outside in the elements. The political climate in the country is dangerous. Performing job will put your life in danger. You will be exposed to public ridicule and persecution. Compensation, no pay, no insurance, no pension, no housing fund, No paid vacation. Qualifications needed. Complete obedience. Deny yourself and obey the boss completely in every area. So how does this job sound to you? Are you going to jump for it? Yes, we are, because what are the benefits? Tell me some of the benefits when you sign up for that job. Or eternal life, salvation, forgiveness, peace that surpasses all understanding, relationship with God, joy, eternal life, His grace. See Jesus. Think about this. Learn face to face from the Creator of the world. Learn face to face from the Creator of the world. Whoa. That is, who's your boss? Oh, He's the Creator of the world. He's just the Creator of everything. But that's okay. You can become friends with the King of Kings. Discover real joy. We gain a purpose in life. When we give our lives to Christ, we give our lives purpose. We all have a purpose. God's love is upon us. The costs of this job are high, but the benefits are worth it. The cost is high, but the benefits are worth it. Will you deny yourself and follow the Lord? Amos 3:3 says, "How can two walk together unless they are agreed?" Walking along with someone implies that you're going in the same direction. If one person is going north, the other is going south, it's not going to work. If one's going north and the other is going 2 degrees east of due north, can you tell that this has to do with something else? If one is going due north and the other is going 2 degrees east of due north, you could maybe walk together for a while, but sooner or later, you will have to split. You gotta be walking together. Walking with Jesus means that we agree with Him about our life's direction. We submit everything we have to Him, our plans, our careers, our relationships, everything that we're doing. We come to an agreement with Him and say, "Lord, Your way is the best way." Coming to that place of saying, "Lord, Your way is the best way." So I'll ask you a couple of questions. Does your life need a change of direction? Something that you can add to your time in the small groups. Does your life need a change of direction? Are you walking with Jesus or going your own way and then asking Him to come along and bless you and prosper your plans? "I got this, God. I put it all together. Did you notice I have it all written out? I'm an administrator. I have it all written out, and it's all together. What do you think? Will you bless it?" God says, silence. No answer. Submit your plans to God. And you know, my daughter Shannon, as you know, Shannon and Jesse moved to Florida. And one of the things that she has said just recently is that absolutely nothing that they planned has come to be. The only thing that they planned was going to Florida. And they had planned some other things. And when we get to Florida, we're going to do this, we're going to do that, we're going to take care of this, we're going to, all these things. None of those things have happened. None of them. So are they supposed to be in Florida? Yes, God called them to Florida. But then the rest of the plans are still in God's hands. And Shannon knows that, and Jesse knows that. God has something so great for them, I can't even comprehend it. When we walk in obedience to what God tells us to do, we know that He's got us, and we don't have to worry, we don't need to fret. And so we have everything that we need, and we have it all together. And so, Father, I thank You, Lord. I thank You for Your faithfulness to us. I thank You, God, that You have called us to something more. You've called us to something more, not busyness. You called us to something more in our attitude toward our relationship with You. You've called us, Lord, not to perform, not to make sure that we write out our scriptures, not to make sure that we read our Bible, not to make sure that we do all of our praying, only that we submit ourselves to You and listen for Your direction. And the more time we invest with You, the more we recognize Your voice and the more we walk in that way. And so, Father, would You help us today to bring glory to Your name? Would You help us today, Lord, to listen carefully for Your voice? Would You help us today, Lord, when Your plan is not like our plan? Give us the strength, the courage, the determination to walk in Your way, Lord. The psalm says that we walk so closely behind You that we are in Your footsteps. Our right foot is moving at the same time that Your right foot is moving. Our left foot moves at the same time Your left foot moves. We're in Your footsteps all the way. And I know that whole poem that You're carrying us through that time, but You have called us, Lord, to go into that place of just walking in Your footsteps. And so, Father, would You be glorified today? Would You be glorified in our lives? And as we do things away from here next week, Lord, You be glorified in that too. And Father, when we come back together and we just go over all the great things that You've done in this chapter, in these chapters that we've gone over, Lord, that we would be blessed, that we would recognize that You are in complete control. We thank You, Lord. We praise You. We honor You. We bless You. And we love You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495.
In the power of Your name, I'm giving up, letting go, standing up, stepping out, walking on. In the power of Your name.